Dama Kunjabi Hari Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari Vallabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanyachari Yamuna Tira Vanyachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Ki Jaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
So we are reading for Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. So first we will chant the verse 18.
Prayaschitani chirnani Narayana paran mukam Nanishpunanti Rajendra Surakumbami Vapaga Parayaschitani Chirnani Narayana Paranmukam Nanishpunanti Rajendra Surakumbami Vapaga Chitani Chirnani Narayana Paran Mukam Nanishpunanti Rajendra Surakumbami Vapaga Prayaschitani Chirnani Narayana paran mukam Nanishpunanti Rajendra Surakumbami Vapagam.
Okay, so word by word. Prayaschitani. Process of atonement. Chirnani. Very nicely performed.
Narayana Paran Mukam. A non-devotee. Nanishpunanti. Cannot purify. Rajendra. O King, Surakumbam, a pot containing liquor. Iva, like. Apaga, the waters of the rivers. Translation. My dear king, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, non-devotees cannot be purified by the process of atonement even if they perform them very well. Purport. To take advantage of the methods of atonement, one must be at least somehow devoted. Otherwise, there is no chance of one's being purified. It is clear from this verse that even those who had take advantage of karma kanda and jnana kanda, but are not at least slightly devoted, cannot be purified simply by following these other paths. The word prayaschitani is plural in number and indicate both karma kanda and jnana kanda. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, karma kanda jnana kanda kevala vishera banda. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur compares the paths of karma kanda and jnana kanda to pots of poison. Liquor and poison are in the same category. According to this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, a person who has heard a good deal about the path of devotional service, but who is not attached to it, who is not Krishna conscious, is like a pot of liquor. Such a person cannot be purified without at least a slight touch of devotional service. So we read one more verse, which is connected and which will give the essence of this one also. So we'll skip the Sanskrit just as translation. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities and pastimes are completely freed of all sinful reactions, for they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with robes to bind the sinful. This one is very encouraging. That's why Prabhu gave me this one also. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharma parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha isyami smasujaham. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This same principle is described here. Sahrin mana Krishna padaravyavinda. If by studying Bhagavad Gita one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Shukadev Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana and Narayana Parayana, finally says Krishna Padaravindayo. Thus he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayan and Vasudev, even though Narayan and Vasudev are non-different from Krishna. Simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayana, Vasudeva and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matah Paratnaram Nanyat, there is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Form. Krishna stu Bhagavan Svayam. Therefore Krishna recommends to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, mam ekam. Simply because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayana, Vasudeva and Govinda are, Krishna directly says, mam ekam. Herein, this is also supported by words Krishna Padaravindayo. Narayana does not speak personally, but Krishna or Vasudeva does, as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna, and to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of Bhakti Yoga. Parikshit Maharaj has inquired from Shukadev Goswami how one can be saved from falling into the various conditions of hellish lives. In this verse, Shukadev Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to Naraka, hellish existence. To say nothing of going there, even in his dreams, he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into Naraka, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word Sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he is safe even by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord also says, in the endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita, the Lord says, Nahi kalyana krit keshchit durgatam tadgachati. One who performs auspicious activities is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyana, auspicious activities, is to surrender to Krishna. That is the only path by which to save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabodhananda Sarasvati has confirmed this as follows. The sinful actions of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Prothata damstrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having surrendered to Krishna. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful action no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akutobhaya, free from fear.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Before I start, I want to ask you for the blessings and empowerment, and I will also chant a few prayers just to invoke those blessings.
Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radha Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhyubhye Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swami Niti Namina Namo Krishna Prishta Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namina Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarni Hare Krishna. So, we have beautiful verse here. I will read just the 19th, and then I will connect. Actually, I will read both, just to repeat again. So, my dear king, as a pot containing liquor cannot be purified even if washed in the waters of many rivers, Non-devotees cannot be purified by process of atonement, even if they performed them very well. The second one, although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet, and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities and pastimes, are completely freed of all sinful reactions, for they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with ropes to bind the sinful. So we can see here like a small overview of different paths and emphasizing how pure devotional service is the one who is the most potent to deliver person from all the contaminations and all the sinful reactions. We also have many other paths like karma, jnana, ashtanga and others that are also suggested by Krishna in different places, like in Bhagavad Gita, like in Uddhava Gita and all different places in our shastras, because there is many different kinds of people who try to somehow practice some spirituality and go out of this world and come back to Krishna. And one nice comparison for me when I try to explain that to others is that in this material world we are like in a dark well, in very deep dark well, and if we try somehow, which is modern today, to go out of that and come back to our original position connected with our nature, it's like that we are trying to climb up on that well by ourselves, like that we are trying to grab those slippery bricks and try to go out on ourselves if we don't accept a proper spiritual path, bona fide. And there is different paths, there is different ropes actually that are being given from Supreme Personality of Godhead, and those ropes can help us that by our own strength we can try to climb out. But if we are not strong, if we are not physically strong, it's very hard to climb up, especially if that well is very deep. So we need a long preparation to strengthen ourselves, to try to go out, and many times people fall and it's very, very hard. But process of bhakti is very different, because in process of bhakti there is still a rope, there is still bona fide process, but we are not climbing on our own strength, but we are asking for mercy, we are asking for help, please pull me out. And we just need to hold ourselves to that rope, put some endeavor, but it's much easier to hold than trying to climb out with all of our weight. So this is process of bhakti. Krishna, our acharyas, spiritual masters are pulling us out of this material world. And that's why it's compared with elevator. You just go in and it takes you up, instead of going with step by step by the staircase. But when Radhanath Maharaj spoke about different preaching projects, he said, we also need to have a staircase because some people like to have an exercise. So that's that's also our conditioning. And that's why Krishna is not exclusive. He gives different paths for different kind of people, and all of them lead upwards. And here in this verse it says in the purport that if they don't have a tinge, some aspect of devotional service, even those karma, jnana and ashtanga, they cannot purify themselves, they cannot elevate themselves. And what to say that again, they need to come to bhakti in order to surrender, to go to Krishna. That is Ishvara Pranidhan in Ashtanga Yoga, we need to surrender to Ishvara. So this process of bhakti is very potent and very powerful. And I was thinking before, when I came to Krishna consciousness, if this is the most powerful process, how come it was given in the most darkest stage? Because our tradition says that Kali Yuga is the most darkest stage. In previous processes, there was other process of self-realization, like Ashtanga Yoga, like different yagyas and worshipping the deities. But then I heard one answer that was very interesting. He said that there is a very dirty place, then you need to put the most strongest purifying agent to purify it. You cannot use just water or something like that. You need to put the most powerful thing. So then I said, oh yeah, that's why, because it's very dark. So to elevate souls, because their intelligence is very low, they are full of bad habits, the whole life we spend in this crazy world that is just conditioning us, and how time goes, it's more and more conditionings with so many ways that. So bhakti actually is the only process for this age that can really pull us out in one life, you know, that we can come back to Krishna. And that's why here it says it can sometimes sound a little harsh, you know, like there are other processes are like pots of poison or liquor. But it's because it's very hard, especially in today's age, to purify ourselves with that. So that's why it's very important to understand where are we, what's the condition of this world, and how blessed we are by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that Lord Chaitanya has come and gave us this most potent purifying process that can elevate our consciousness and help us to come back to our original state. And we can see also from Shastras, that's why Shastras explain how different personalities have been practicing all of this karma, jnana, ashtanga for hundreds and sometimes even hundred celestial years. That's like 36,000 human years. Like different examples, I will not now mention many of them. But the process of bhakti, Prabhupada said, one, two or three lives, it can help us to elevate us if we practice it properly. And how bhakti actually manifests, it's very interesting, because bhakti is not a process of our own strength that we are trying to practice it. It manifests by mercy. And that mercy comes from Krishna's pure devotees. That's why in this verse it says that we should, it says that we should follow our spiritual masters and gurus in order to elevate ourselves. Sometimes even Krishna himself comes and elevates some spiritual souls, like when he came to Mathura and then he liberated a couple of them and purified a couple of them. I remember Mataji Urmila was saying, I only regret that I was not in that time in Mathura, that I could be liberated immediately. But also those souls have from the past lives got some bhakti agyata sukriti, that they could be like they have been practicing many different things, so that they could be purified and elevated like that. It's not just a casual thing. And also aside of the mercy of pure devotees, it's also Shastras, because Shastras are also association of pure devotees who have written them, can also help us to elevate our consciousness. And why is that pure devotees can help us? Because Krishna doesn't interfere in our spiritual life, because he loves us unconditionally. He loves us so much that he doesn't, even though he wants the best for us, and he knows what's the best for us, he doesn't intrude into our life. Because of our impure desire that we want to be enjoyer and controller, that we want to experience how is it in his position, he has created all of this material world to enjoy and to experience that. And that's why, because even he knows that we are suffering, even though he wants us to come back, to have a relationship with him, he loves us so much, but love is unconditional. Love cannot be forced. So he allows us to enjoy and like pigs roll into this mud and all of these things. But bhakti, still he makes a strategical, he uses bhakti as his agent to help and also to empower and inspire pure devotees who have that bhakti to be compassionate to living entities. And then because of the mercy of the pure devotees, they help conditioned souls to elevate their consciousness. So the bhakti daily impels pure devotees, their compassion to elevate the spirit souls. And then the question arises, why some souls are being favored and some are not? Why are there so many souls that are still conditioned in this world? There is a reason, because in order for pure devotees to help and to plant this bhakti lata bij, this seed of pure devotional service, there should be a fertile soil in our heart. And that fertile soil means that we should have some agyata sukriti. And not just agyata sukriti, but bhakti agyata sukriti. Bhakti agyata sukriti is some unconscious devotional service that we have done in previous lives, in these lives, where we have maybe dig a well, and then some saints come and drink that well, and they are very grateful, or we have planted trees, and they take a shade, and they are very grateful, or we have done something that was not directly to please pure devotees, and but we have done it unconsciously. And then that bhakti agyata sukriti develops, and when it comes to a certain level, then we are ready for devotional service. This is explained in Madhurya Kandambini and in other places. And that's why some personalities, some conditioned souls, have opportunity to grow their bhakti lata, because the soul in their heart is fertile, and on the others it's like more like a desert. So how can you in a desert plant a seed? It's impossible. And also pure devotees is not just those ones who are fully pure, but who are following also pure devotees, can also be conditioned. If we are purely following also pure devotee, we can also be considered, because the message that we transmit to others is also pure. And the Madhyama Bhaktas, those who have elevated their consciousness, that they have a firm faith and some understanding in the scriptures, and who are following pure devotees, they also know how to distinguish who is ready and who is not ready, who is envious and who is not, who is just, you know, like innocent, and they know how to impart that bhakti properly. That's why it's important for us also to grow in our spiritual life, to purify ourselves, to grow at least to the Madhyama level, to be able to help those other conditioned souls, because purity is the force. I was in many years, for the last 15 or 20 years, I was trying different preaching outreaches in the West. And on the end, last couple of years, I really understood that purity is the thing. We can do many strategies and we can do many things, which is important, of course, how to approach people, how to help them. But the purity of our faith, we can only impart that to others. And this is what changes others. And that's why it says that Mahabhagavatas are those can be recognized by their potential, that they can transfer... they can transform hearts of many people. So when we see that somebody can transform hearts of many people, and in the way that they start practicing pure devotion, that can be seen that their consciousness is very elevated. And now we are going to speak what does that mean actually, and how can that be done. Because when we sow that pure seed, that seed of bhakti lata, of pure devotional service in our heart, we need to water it. And watering of that bhakti lata is through the process of sadhana, hearing and chanting. This is very important, because otherwise if we don't, like in this verse it says that the one who has surrendered to Krishna, he is safe. And Krishna always is there caring for people who has done any service to him. He's always there, but still, it's our responsibility to water that bhakti lata so that it can grow, that and then it can give a fruit of love of Godhead. And that process of watering is primarily by hearing and chanting, the process, so that if we practice it properly. And then one other aspect which is very prominent that our acharyas and Lord Chaitanya has gave us is preaching. That's what I was mentioning, you know, like that it's our responsibility in our tradition that we can help elevate others, because through that process we can also elevate ourselves. And why is that? Because we got such mercy from our gurus and our acharyas, and we can never repay that. But if we try somehow to help others, which is their desire, we can get so much mercy from them. Because they want that. They are so compassionate and they want to elevate the consciousness of these conditioned souls. And if we can assist them in that process, they will be the most happy. And that's why Prabhupada also saw the condition of the Western people, and he engaged them directly, Harinam, Sankirtan, and all of different kinds of preachings, because that can really purify us and also elevate our consciousness. And it's also important when we look at this process of devotional service that Bhakti Lata is just one bija. It's just one seed that grows, but through our living in this world and through reading different things and through our association, we are also planting other bijas. And those other bijas can be, you know, like not suitable for our spiritual life. It can be through watching the TVs, through association with people who are materialistically conscious. It can be through reading also different scriptures, which can shift our consciousness of pure devotional service. So we need to be careful, actually, which bijas we are planting in our heart through everything, how we interact in this world. And when we also water our bijas, what we're hearing and chanting, that we are really focused, that we are really putting the water on the proper thing. Because if we put on the other bijas, sometimes those are weeds, yes, but we can mistake them to be also Bhakti Lata. Sometimes we can start practicing karma or jnana without even noticing that we are not practicing pure devotional service, because we start associating with such kind of people. And the point of karma is that we are trying to practice bhakti for sense enjoyment, to get a position, to get some more resources to enjoy, to get some whatever, fame, glory, and anything. Or we can just try to practice bhakti to, in a jnana mode, to liberate us from conditioning, to liberate us from suffering, that we can be, more happy and things like that. But this is not pure devotional service. So we need to be careful there. And the point of this semblance of devotion, Bhakti Abbas, the primary it can be not noticed when we try to enjoy in something separate Krishna consciousness, that pleasing Krishna purely. Then we need to understand that part, that happiness can be found in something outside of this Krishna consciousness. So I just wanted to mention that, because in this verse it says that they are saved forever, but it's also our endeavor that we need to put to stay in the process of watering Bhakti Lata, uprooting the weeds and understanding where we are. And the first bud of this Bhakti Lata is Shraddha. So Shraddha is the first bud, and this pure faith is very, very important, to, because this Bhakti Lata in the scriptures, it's explained, it can be very metaphorical, but what is that Bhakti Lata? That Bhakti Lata is transcendental knowledge that is being imparted from the pure devotees to us. That transcendental pure knowledge that is not contaminated by any traces of karma and jnana. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, it gives only pure devotional service, so that we can stay in going the right direction, that we are not diverted. Because by reading different philosophies, it can stop us from watering our pure bhakti, and we can start watering some other weeds. And that's why it's important to understand what are the two primary characteristics, and that of pure bhakti, and that is exclusive dedication and complete dependence. So exclusive dedication and pure complete dependence are two primary characteristics of pure bhakti. And then there is also three other qualities that come, and that's trust in the scriptures, distinct taste for devotion, and increased strength to practice devotional service. So when we have that pure faith, that Shraddha, we can then experience those qualities. And if something is not proper, then we need to uproot those weeds and go properly how to advance. So that we don't end up in semblance of devotion. Semblance of devotion, it's also very tricky because it has two primary aspects. So one aspect is that reflective faith, and that's very dangerous because that reflective faith is more connected to this Mayavad philosophy, you know, like we are just going to get liberated, and it's very hard to transform that to pure devotional service. If person comes to devotional service with that reflective faith, we can see that when some, because I was also in, preaching to many people, and then I saw many of those who were having traces of devotional service, but their inner attitude was, I want to become God, I want to merge with God, or I want to do something, so more impersonal. That aspect is very hard to purify, to help those persons to come to pure devotion. And that's why Prabhupada and our acharyas were very heavy regarding that, to really cut between that mentality of wanting to become Ishvara instead of wanting to surrender to Ishvara, wanting to come to the Ishvara. And the second part, which is much better, is shadow faith. And that shadow faith, it's like a shadow, it's still not real. But that shadowy faith is when we are trying to, when we still do something for Krishna, but we want to enjoy. We want to enjoy through that process. And that can be purified by the association of pure devotees when they help us and understand how we will still suffer and how we can upgrade our consciousness to become pure. And the very important thing is to understand why pure devotional service is so amazing. How potent it is, how actually that can only bring true happiness to us as spirit souls, and how Krishna is wonderful when we are attracted by his name, qualities, pastimes, because we can then understand that he is such a loving personality that he wants us more than anything, and we are the ones who are stopping that process of re-establishing relationship with him. And when we are attracted by him, it's when we understand that transcendental knowledge and his position and qualities, then our consciousness is going to be dragged like a piece of iron with a magnet. That's a process of bhakti. That's how we purify our consciousness, because that metal particles are our true consciousness, and all the other impurities are those impurities that we got into this material world. And other processes, they are trying to do it in a different, much harder ways, through austerities, lot of tapasya, trying to purify our consciousness. That's why it's much, much harder. So in order to purify that shadow faith and to come to pure devotional service, we need to be careful not to commit offenses, because in the beginnings of our spiritual life, we are on the path of unsteady devotional service, where we are still in the path of anartha nirriti, and we need to be careful that we don't get distracted by some of those improper behaviors. And most important of them is not accepting Guru's instructions, not watering properly, practicing properly sadhana, and not uprooting the weeds. That's why we spoke about those things before. Those things are the ones who can really divert us from the pure of, for the path of pure devotional service. And those that uprooting the weeds, the weeds are actually those when we are not following our rules and regulations given by our path of pure devotional service. And then it's interesting, there is a question usually arising, how come that faith, which is connected with Krishna, because Krishna is all pure, can be impure? How is that possible? You know, like, how can that faith be impure? And pure faith means that underlying purpose is to serve and please Krishna. So sometimes we can see persons that are also using some of the external, some of the secondary processes like astrology, yagyas, pujas, and all of these things. And depends what is the underlying purpose, why persons do that. If that is connected with Krishna, and it's for pleasing Krishna, and it's for using to help and elevate other conditioned souls to come to the process of pure devotional service, to somehow connect them, then it's not a problem. But if we take shelter in that, oh, my astrologer told me that I should not now do something, so that's why I should not surrender to Krishna. Or I should first arrange my life perfectly, build a house in Vastu perfect, so that I will be having, so that then I can surrender to Krishna, or something like that. That means that we have been diverted from pure devotional service into all of these other secondary aspects. So that's something that there is some slightly selfish motivations and impure desires. And to understand what is pure devotional service, the best example is one of my favorite stories about Vritrasura. Because Vritrasura, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained that Vritrasura was actually a demon. He was a king of demons. And there was a battle between him, king of demons, and Indra. Indra, who is considered a devotee, who is considered a very... just to understand who is Indra, so... Indra is not just a devotee, he is a leader of all the demigods. So he is so qualified. His IQ, we cannot even imagine how qualified he is. He is not chosen like when we have in today's world, you know, like you choose somebody as for a mandate of like 3 years, you know, like you will be our leader. No, he is chosen for the whole lifetime. Can you imagine his qualities? And not chosen by anybody, but Brahma, the highest entity in this material world. Yeah, his authority, not the highest entity, but you know, like Brahma is the one who chooses Indra because of his qualities to rule the devatas all his life. So such person, and you can also imagine this, that you know, like when we do yagyas, usually different yagyas, it's nobody appears physically. But when like devatas or some saints do yagyas, sometimes Indra appears. But when Indra does yagyas, Vishnu appears. So he is so qualified. He has such a qualifications. But still, he had impure motivations, some selfish motivations. And it's also important to understand that when we see such stories, we can sometimes... think, oh, he's like has demonic tendencies, or he's very, how he can be on that position. But the point is, when we have huge position, a lot of power, it's a huge responsibility, because even a slight mistake can bring us to ripe a lot of reactions. So that's why we really need to be careful when we see somebody on high positions, that you know, like it's really difficult to be on those positions, because you have a lot of responsibilities and a lot of reactions we can get. So Indra, in that case, because I will not now go in details about all the nonsense that he has done in that pastime, but on the end the result of that was that Vritrasura came, and he was cursed from Parvati to become a demon, but he was a pure devotee. And interestingly, Vritrasura was like a demon, king of demons, and all the devatas and all the brahmanas were doing pujas and yagyas to kill him, for him to die. Only very saintly persons like Narada and few others knew that he was a pure devotee. Everybody else wanted to kill him. Can you imagine that position? So pure devotee, who is in the position of demons, leading the army of demons, and the most qualified devata, are fighting together. And you can think, oh, you know, like pure devotional service is on the side of, you know, like Indra. But it was not. Vritrasura was a pure devotee. Because even though he was hated by others, he knew his mission, and he was doing everything to please Krishna. He didn't have any selfish motivations. And he was even criticizing Indra for not fighting. And, you know, like, it's really interesting story where we can really distinguish what is pure devotional service and what is mixed devotional service. That's why this story is so potent. And on the end, Indra understands, oh, what have I done? But still, he needs to finish. And actually, Krishna uses Indra and uses all of these things to help us understand those principles. So we should not be disrespectful, of course, to them. But still, it's important to understand the principles. And then the main question is, if the pure devotional service is so elevated, how can I, who am not pure fully, what is hope there for me? How can I purify that? And the point is that association of pure devotees is the most potent ingredient that can purify our consciousness, because they give us, they help us understand where we are and how we can go further, and they can impart that pure faith in us. And blessings of association of pure devotees and enthusiasm to read the literatures given by those pure devotees is something that is the most valuable that we can aspire for, because then we will know how we can go above unsteady devotional service, how we can go above all the anarthas. And there is different kinds, there is four different categories of anarthas given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Amnaya Sutra, which are offenses, which are very problematic, that can really drain our spiritual life, material desires, weakness of the heart, and misunderstandings of spiritual truths. So I will not now go in details about each one of them, but it's very important that we try to avoid offenses of the Holy Name, because the Holy Name actually is the process that is most potent to purify our consciousness. And if we do offenses to the Holy Name, then it's our devotional service becomes stagnant. And every morning those offenses are being recited. So that's why they are so important. And also not doing offenses to Vaishnavas. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Please just chant Holy Name and avoid doing offenses to devotees. And devotional service is so simple, yet it's such a science how to elevate ourselves. But this is the most essential thing. So I hope there was something... that everything that I said was okay. I would like to hear if there is some corrections or if there is some comments or questions. So please, if there is something that you would like to enrich, I'm not qualified to speak in such association, but still I was asked. So please, if you want to add something.
So you said in between that before surrendering to Krishna, we also have this desire to, you know, do this vastu or some other thing. Then I'll surrender to Krishna. And you said it's because of having impure desires.
Yeah.
So what we normally have is just to use conglomerate of so many desires. Hardly any one of them is pure desire. So how do you have pure desires?
The answer is very simple, but just to clarify that question a little before. So it's the problem is not that we don't have just pure desires. If we have a pure faith, if we understand what is a pure devotion, what is pure Krishna consciousness, we will gradually purify our desires. But the most biggest problem is if we don't understand what is pure devotion. If we try to take shelter in other things and we think that is the proper process. So if we think by executing all of these paths of, either austerities or either vastu, jyotish, all the other things, that will help us in our pure devotional service, that's problematic if we take shelter in some other things. We are not pure even when we come. The pure devotional service is like a hospital. But we need to understand what we need to go through and what is the cure state. What are we aspiring for? If we are aspiring something different, then that's the problem. Then that's the mixed faith. That's that semblance of devotion. When we have desires to, you know, like attain some self-gratification, some position, some, and we are cultivating that. We are practicing spiritual life. We are in the attire of a devotee, and we are aspiring for position. We are aspiring for some resources, and we think that's our goal. But if we aspire for a pure, unconditional devotional service, then gradually by practicing it, those things will fall apart. But we need to understand what is that pure faith. And that's why it's not, we are always associating with different persons and different, we are influenced by different things. But the point is where we take shelter. And who are we taking guidance from? Because in especially in the West, there is many mixtures of, that faith. And if you approach somebody who, and I knew some even older devotees who went into this karma aspect so much with different rituals and pujas, and even say that chanting holy name is not enough, that's like secondary until we purify ourselves. It can go so far away, So if we take shelter of such people who then put those bijas when we open our heart, and they give us the end goal, which is not clear. They give us the end goal, should be doing all of these other things. That's the problem. Because then we start watering the wrong bija. By our sadhana we start, or practicing spiritual life, or by reading different books which are not presenting pure devotional service, then our consciousness goes in another direction. But as by association, that's why Association of Pure Devotees is, because then they can understand where we are and how to help us to come to position of pure devotional service. That's the process, because Association of Pure Devotees can help us to direct us in a proper way, because we can hardly see ourselves. But it doesn't need to be that like Narada Muni manifests. But even some devotees who are following purely, who are really purely following and who understand the pure teachings, and they are just repeating those pure teachings, they are also qualified as a pure devotees. But their faith and their knowledge should be really grounded in pure devotional service. And they can assist us. That's why it's important to have a guru. That's why it's important to have a mentor. Those ones who can help us to direct us in a proper way.
Hare Krishna. So, in the beginning, like as a beginners, we might have impure desires also, a combination of pure, not so impure, impure desires, materialistic desires also. Is that understanding correct? And gradually we purify.
Yeah, that's the point. The point is that we all come in diseased condition. We are all, sorry, not all. Many of us have some pure, maybe, personalities are here who came. We can see Radhanath Maharaj from his book how he was having pure desire to develop relationship with God. So that's very elevated. For me, it was a different path. But in that impure condition, by practicing pure devotional service, that gets purified. But if we in impure state, we start aspiring for some karma or jnana or processes of what was in the verse here spoken as processes, as pots of liquor and poison, because they just contaminate our consciousness. They just give us some enjoyment in this world, and they just divert us from the pure devotional service. That's the problem, what we aspire for. That's why associations of pure devotees and understanding what is pure devotional service through understanding knowledge is very, very important to purify ourselves. Yeah. And if somebody wants to add something, please. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhu, for highlighting what is pure devotional service and practicing very important subject for us to understand. So just contemplating, so you are mentioning about Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavratam. So the aspect of Anyabhilashita Shunyam is we don't aspire to become famous or to achieve some material desires. Mm-hmm. So those are right. And jnana karmadi anavratam is that like you're relating karma and jnana also with anyabhilashita. Is it like there are two different processes, different phrases, right? So how do we connect those two?
Yes, so process of pure devotional service in that verse that you mentioned is that we want only to satisfy Krishna without anything for ourselves. So that's the point when we try to do something for our sense gratification. Even though in that verse it's explained that some things that are for maintaining our body or helping us to maintain ourselves together, they are not considered impure. Like if some pure devotees were sometimes praying to, if somebody attacks them, so they take shelter of Krishna, please save me, please help me to maintain my body so that I could serve you. That's not impure. The impure is if we are praying to Krishna, please give me this position, please give me this house, please give me these resources. You know, like please give me some sense gratification, if that is our aspiration. It's not a problem if we have those desires, but the point is, what are we praying for? Where are we putting our consciousness, and when we are chanting, what are we, you know, like aspiring for? So that's what I was trying to say. And what I was speaking about, it's all explained in Nectar of Devotion, and I was asking for this Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani book. It's really amazing book from Shivaram Swami, where he compiled our Acharya's teachings in such a systematic and amazing way to present how to properly stay on the track of pure devotional service. So I didn't have that book here, so I took prepared this lecture through the notes from previous lectures. It would be much more interesting if I had the book. So if there is some, if you want to add something, please, please add something.
Contemplating that jnana and karma anavritam. So, like first, anyabhilashita shunyam is the aspect of desires that one should not have any other desires than achieving pure devotional service, although we have anarthas. And jnana karma anavritam is the aspect of what we practice that you are highlighting, that we should not go towards karma where rituals are taking shelter of other karmakandic activities, jyotish and all those things. That is the aspect of karma. And jnana is like reading scriptures which will emphasize the union of the Brahma Sahajya Mukti. So those we should not do. So our jnana karma dhyana vratam is the process phrase, like what we practice, that is referring to jnana karma. And anyabhilashita shunyam is what we aspire, that is highlighting this thing. So that's how I could understand these things. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, to looking at it from another perspective. Yeah. Okay, so the time is for breakfast, and thank you for your attention. I hope and I pray that I may put these things, what I spoke, in practice. I beg you for your blessings, that I could develop eagerness to associate with pure devotees and to read the scriptures. And thank you for tolerating me and for allowing me to share this for my purification. And I'm so happy to be here among all of you, and it's such a blessing. So thank you so much for putting all of this endeavor and your dedication, that all of this can manifest and happen, that we could come here and purify ourselves. So I'm very grateful to all of you. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai.